Invite you to turn into your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew in the third chapter. It is natural to say when a Christian gives their testimony about baptism that they wanted to follow the Lord in baptism. And of course, that's because Jesus himself was baptized. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, we read of that account. Matthew 3, verse 13, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus was baptized, and he calls on us to follow him. Follow me, he says to Peter and his brother Andrew by the seashore in the very next chapter. And Jesus not only wants us to be baptized, but to baptize others. In Matthew chapter 28, he commanded us to make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And later today, we have the joy and the privilege of baptizing before the Lord, Neil and Lisa Martins. And they have come to understand from the New Testament that to baptize means to immerse. As even the account of what we just read gives indication, when it says in verse 16 that Jesus came up immediately from the water. It was necessary that Jesus was in the water of the Jordan River, and after being immersed, he came up out of the water. Of course, any other mode of baptism wouldn't require coming up out of the water. And before we all head to the Pattersons for the baptism and the meal to follow, I'd like to preach to us briefly that we commit to following Christ. And this message is meant to be an encouragement to us in our commitment to Christ, and perhaps even for some of us for the first time. Baptism is part of one's commitment. Part of one's commitment to Christ, and scripturally it is the first expression of commitment to Christ. Baptism, of course, does not save anyone, nor does it actually wash away anyone's sins. Otherwise, Paul wouldn't have been so unconcerned about who he baptized in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And the thief on the cross would have been baptized if it was required in some way for the washing of sins. But no, Jesus gave him the pronouncement that he did, that today you'll be with me in paradise. And that's why we sing after the baptism, we baptize somebody and we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus. And those who are Jesus' sheep, they do follow him. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus calls on all everywhere to repent and to follow him. He finds his sheep, and he calls on them like he called on Philip in Galilee. Early in Jesus' earthly ministry, he says to Philip, follow me. And what does that mean to follow Jesus? To follow Jesus means to bring everything underneath his authority. Bring everything underneath his authority. Everything. And of course, that would mean to learn from him, to live like him, and to serve him. Everything brought underneath his authority. So in my heart, I'm learning from him and his word. I'm seeking to live like him, and I'm serving him as the Lord that he is. This is my heart's desire. And that all starts in a moment, as it did with Peter and Andrew that day. They left their nets and they followed him. Collapse yourself. You understand that your works, your ways are all fruitless. Collapsing yourself before Christ. Like in John chapter 6, verses 28 to 29, Jesus is talking to some folks in Capernaum, and they ask him, "What shall we do? What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" And little did they understand that their works are fruitless to earn salvation. And so Jesus answers and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Salvation is by belief, faith in Christ. So that makes clear then that baptism does not save. It is an expression of one's commitment to Christ. So Jesus says, "Follow me." So follow Jesus first this morning because of who he is. He is the Lord. The Bible says that he is the Lord. Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth." He has all the authority. Jesus also said in John 8:58, he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." And when he said, "I am," he is claiming to be the great I am that revealed himself to Moses when Moses asked, "Whom shall I say sent me?" And the Lord replies, "You say to these people, I am has sent me to you." And Jesus says, "I am," claiming himself to be the Lord over all. And so we can understand then why the folks in Capernaum responded the way that they did. Remember when he said, when they said, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" And Jesus says, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." And now they respond and say, "What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" Jesus doesn't give them what they want in those moments, but we do have recorded down for us the many miracles that Jesus did perform. And these miracles prove that he is God, the Lord over all, demanding that we follow him. On one occasion, there was a royal official, the nobleman's son, and that son of his was sick. And Jesus asked him to heal his son who was about to die. And so Jesus says to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." The man says, "Lord, come down before my child dies." And Jesus replies, "Go, your son lives." And the man believes. And on the day's journey back, the man's servants come and tell him that the boy's fever has left him. And it says that the man and his whole household believed. They trusted Jesus. Jesus, the Lord, says to all of us here, "Follow me." He performed many miracles. He fed the 5,000. He fed the 4,000. He walked on water. He healed so many people. On one occasion, the news about him spread throughout all Syria so that they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains and demoniacs and epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them all. He healed Simon's mother-in-law, the woman with the hemorrhage, and the man with the shriveled hand, the blind, the lame. He cast out demons and even raised the dead. On one occasion, he stopped the funeral procession, touched the coffin, and said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and spoke. Fear gripped all of them, and they began glorifying God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." May it not be said of you, as Jesus has said to some, "I told you, and you did not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me." Those works testify that he is the Lord of glory, the King over all of the kings, and the Lord over all of the lords. He has authority over nature as well. Once he and his disciples were out on a boat, and there arose a great storm. "Save us, Lord, we'll die," they said. And he calms the winds and the waves with only his voice. "Peace, be still." All of nature obeys his voice, and his voice calls out today, "Follow me." Follow Jesus. Bring everything underneath his authority. Your life, your heart, your relationships, everything. Why? He is the Lord, as the miracles prove. And he is the Lord because of his death and his resurrection. Jesus said in John 15, verse 13, that greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And that is exactly what he has done for you. Friend, he laid down his life for yours. He took on himself the eternal pain and suffering that you deserve for all of your sin, and took it himself. The Prince of Glory dies. Mystery of mysteries, the immortal God, the God of life, dies. See him there, dying on the tree for you and for me. The Lord alone could be born of a virgin. The Lord alone could live a life of extraordinary selflessness and sacrifice of serving others. The Lord alone could work the miracles. The Lord alone could take eternal punishment upon himself. And the Lord alone raised himself from the dead, showing that the eternal sacrifice for our sins was accepted in his sight. And the Lord of glory alone can rightly say to you, "Follow me." And so, follow him. He is the Lord of miracles. He is the Lord who effectively died and was raised on your behalf. And follow him because he gives eternal life to those who do. John 10, 27 and 28, I referenced earlier, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." For those who follow him, the great Lord of glory gives eternal life, grants complete dismissal of sin, pardon from all guilt. He alone draws and calls and restores you to fellowship with him. He alone, Jesus alone, cleanses and redeems. He alone washes and gives freedom. The Lord alone can give you his righteousness and adopt you into his family. It is he alone who can give you the Holy Spirit and set you apart for his service. It is the Lord Jesus alone who regenerates your heart and promises one day transform your entire being into his image. Jesus is the Lord alone, and he alone can rightly say to you, follow me. And follow Jesus because he is coming again. He says in Matthew 24, verse 44, for this reason you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. Thankfully, for those who follow him, he says in John 14, 3, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And when he who is our hope comes, he says in Revelation 22, 12, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to render to every man according to what he has done. And he comes with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. All the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. And his coming will be as lightning comes from the east to the west. And he awaits the Father's command to come. And until then, he appeals to you from his Father's right hand. Follow me. And when he comes, he doesn't just come for no purpose. He comes to judge the world in righteousness. John 5, 22, for not even the Father judges anyone, Jesus says. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son. He is the Lord and judge. He isn't merely available to you for your heavenly pleasure if you choose to follow him. He is your Lord. He is the judge of all. And as the judge, he is standing right at the door, the judge of the living and the dead, before whom one day all will appear to give an account of their lives. And he will judge in perfect righteousness, sitting on his throne of glory. And from that throne, he is appealing to you, follow me. So commit to following Jesus. Confess him from your heart that he is the Lord. Put everything underneath his authority, your desires, your job, your pursuits, your future, your past, your family. Desiringly place everything underneath his control and tell him that. Of course, many people make excuses for not trusting Christ alone. Some say, well, you know, I have enough goodness on my own. The Bible says that all our righteous deeds are like filthy rags. And Jesus says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and in your name cast out demons? And Jesus will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. Whoever keeps the whole law, keeps the whole law, and yet sins in one point, he is guilty of all. Others would say, I'm not good enough to be a Christian. I'll cleanse myself up first and then come to Christ. But Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. That's why he came. He has come into the world to save sinners. Follow him. Somebody else says, I'm too great of a sinner. How could he ever save me? Jesus promises, he says, he who comes to me, I will by no means cast him out. Well, by no means throw him out. Amen. Somebody else says, not now. I'm not ready. Maybe later. Don't be as the fool who has said to himself, I have many goods laid up for many years. I'll eat and drink and be merry. And Jesus says it. He says, and God says to him, you fool. This night your soul is required of you. Well, why would I want to follow Jesus when his followers are so hypocritical? Maybe a little touche, my friend. That sword cuts both ways. You say you do not lie, and yet have you lied? Jesus has come to save sinners. You follow him. Well, I can't follow Jesus. What will my friends think? He who walks with the wise shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. You enter the path of life. I will not follow Jesus. There's just too much to give up. Jesus replies, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? It's too difficult to be a Christian, somebody else says. No. His commandments are not grievous. And he himself said, come to me, all who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Some young people might say, I'm too young to come to Jesus. On one occasion, Jesus called a child to himself and set him before these other people and said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus says, let the little children come to me. Alas, says another one, it is too late for me to be saved. Fred, was it too late for the thief on the cross? That thief kept saying, it says in the text, that he kept saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Somebody else says, but I can't bring everything underneath his authority. I can't do it. You're right. Tell him that. Tell him, even if you have to say, I'm not willing to give you the keys to my life, Lord, but I am willing for you to take them. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that through his poverty, you might be made rich. He who became poor for you, so that you can receive God's eternal riches, he says to you, follow me. Let's bow for prayer. We're just going to take a quick and quiet moment here for anyone who has a need to respond. Are you committed to Christ? You may need to take some of these words that were spoken this morning and pray them to the Lord or express your commitment to him. So we'll take a quiet moment here and each of us, let's each of us respond to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And we recognize this morning that his miracles have proven his being God. And we receive his words that all judgment has been given over to him. That before Abraham was born, he is, and that he is the great I am. And we know that he is coming again. Judge the living and the dead. And we want our lives to count. We want our moments to be lifted up in praise to you. Our Father, we struggle with our flesh, with our sin, so easily distracted and lacking in our discipleship of your Son. Thank you for your abundant mercies, your forgiveness, that you will not cast us out by any means, and that no one will be able to snatch us out of your hand, nor of our Savior's hand. We receive this morning, we receive your Son's words when he said, "Follow me." We want to learn of you, we want to learn of your Son, we want to live like him. And we pray, Lord Jesus, take it all. Take every last desire. Take every last pursuit. Take every last plan or ambition. Take it all and do with us as you please. For we know, our Savior, you alone have the words of eternal life, and you alone have that power, and you alone have conquered our enemy of death. And so we rise up and follow him. We follow you, our Savior. And we ask that from this point forward, that we would live more devotedly, that we would live more committedly, that we would live more pleasing in your sight. And that you would take us, and may we take our cross with Christ. And we take up our cross and follow him. We pray for Jesus' sake, for his eternal glory. Amen. Number 546 in our hymn book. 546. This is a response to what we have heard. And it is a testimony that says, "Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee." Let's stand together and we'll sing this from our hearts, number 546.
Jesus, thine my cross have taken, all to leave and follow thee. Destined destitute, despised, forsaken, thou from hence my all shalt be. Perish every fond ambition, all I've sought and hoped and known, yet how rich is my condition, God and heaven are still my home. Let the world despise and leave me, they have left my Savior too. Human hearts and looks deceive me, thou art not like man untrue. And while thou shalt smile upon me, God of wisdom, love, and might, foes may hate and friends may shun me, show thy face and all is bright. Man may trouble and distress me, will but drive me to thy breast. Life with trials hard may press me, heaven will bring me sweeter rest. Oh, 'tis not in grief to harm me, while thy love is left to me. Oh, 'twere not in joy to charm me, were that joy unmixed with thee. Haste thee on from grace to glory, armed by faith and winged by prayer. Heaven's eternal days before thee, God's own hand shall guide thee there. Soon shall close thy earthly mission, swift shall pass thy pilgrim days. Hope shall change to glad fruition, faith to sight and prayer to praise.
Amen. Thank you. We are dismissed.